Hey everybody, this is Joan. This is the first episode of our podcast. The idea of this is to expand a little bit on the topics we discuss on our blog and ask each other some questions as well as touch on some things that didn't make the blog for whatever reason. This week we're going to talk a little bit about the WPS College Draft and Dispersal Draft, the Algarve Cup, the direction the women's national team is heading, and a little bit about the veterans. So we're going to start off with some introductions, and then we'll get right to it.
Hey, welcome to our first Crosses Conference cast, which is going to be a mainly women's soccer podcast, and it's going to be fairly consistent. You can hold us to this and guilt trip us if we don't post at least once a month. I am one half of our blog and cast crew. My name is Ruth. I am an avid women's soccer fan for 6 or 7 years now. I got into women's soccer through the U.S. women's national team, but you'll find that I tend to cheer for Canada, even when they're playing against the U.S. It's always fun to root for the underdog, and maybe one day they'll finally pull through. My college and club affiliations tend to be in the Bay Area, particularly with the WPS. I like FC Gold Pride, also the Santa Clara Broncos in the college game. I guess that kind of speaks to my masochism, that I tend to like losing and injured teams.
Hey, I'm Joan. I am mostly a U.S. national team fan, both the men and the women, and I've been a follower of soccer for maybe 10 years and not really paying attention for those first years because I was busy with the college and the studies and the driver's license. And in terms of college, I'm a Portland Pilots fan pretty much exclusively, and I'm a really big AS Roma fan, though they don't have a women's team, FYI. I'm also a pretty big Chicago Red Stars fan, and they can't make me cry yet, so we'll see how that changes this season. So first off, let's talk about the beginning of the year, how this year started out with the college draft for the WPS, and then...
Which was an actual college draft.
An actual college draft, like, for reals.
None of them were 40 or 50.
We could start off by talking about the beginning of the year, the college draft, and the dispersal draft.
Since they were so closely tied together.
They were very closely tied together. Some interesting moves happened there. MARTA, obviously, going to the Bay Area.
Which, actually, I won't talk about. You know, being a Bay Area fan, I just pretend that the MARTA move didn't happen.
Which is, see, you're strange. You don't care about MARTA, whereas the rest of the world seems to disagree and think she's quite significant.
I don't care about winning. Actually, okay, yeah, I will talk about MARTA, because it's not true that I don't believe in winning. It's true that I believe in having a more complete team, and I think that not having a complete team sometimes leads to losing, sort of like LA did in the WPS final.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
All right, in the college draft, the Bay got Kelly O'Hara, which was a move that made me really happy, considering that I feel like we got rid of what little offensive power we had during the offseason. I mean, I completely respect what Sinclair is capable of. By the way, congratulations on getting that 100, Sinclair, which she just did at Cyprus, just as an aside.
Woo, Pilots!
Woo, Canada! But
let's keep this in perspective.
Yeah, yeah. but picking up O'Hara, I think, was a really good move, considering that we got rid of Weimer, who was completely underutilized last year, and should be pretty impressive with Boston, since that's a coach that she's familiar with, and hopefully a system that she can quickly become familiar with. We also got rid of DiMartino, which is a move that I'm still bitter about, not just because she was traded away, but also because she wasn't picked up again in the dispersal draft. And I felt like when I saw FC Gold Pride play last year, DiMartino consistently showed up, even when no one else did, or when it seemed like there was really no point in showing up. I felt like she was a real workhorse in the middle, and she's undersized, but man, she is tough. I was there for the game against St. Louis, and just watching her go against Kendall Fletcher, who is such a solid player, like, that was pretty awesome to see. It was thrilling just for that.
Mm-hmm. DiMartino's heart is three sizes too big.
And this is Tina DiMartino. Obviously, there's another DiMartino in the league now.
Aren't there like 12 more DiMartinos?
It really seems
I think it's 12. I think there's 12, at least. Baker's dozen.
But yeah, so we picked up O'Hara, and this was before we knew that LA was going to collapse. So O'Hara seemed like a really great grab. And also Becky Edwards and Callie Fountain, and Liz Harkin. We really like those U20 World Cup kids, I guess. They won in 2008. And we also picked up Allie Riley, who is a really great defender, plays for New Zealand's national teams, although I think she's no longer U20 eligible. So we did pretty great in the draft, I think. There was the dispersal, and obviously I'm bitter that we didn't pick up DiMartino again, but we got Bozio, bringing her back to the Bay. And I don't really know what I can say about that because there was Marta, and everyone wants to talk about Marta. But I don't know what you do with Sinclair, O'Hara, and Marta all on the same team. That's like, let's have Sinclair and Wambach and Heath and Marta. Like,
I think you rock is what you do.
You rock if you have anyone feeding them the ball, which I'm really afraid of them converting O'Hara or not using her well, just because I watched that happen with Kerry Hanks last year. She just wasn't used well in St. Louis, and I think it was great that she was traded to New Jersey then, because what a shame when you're two-time Matt Kerman Trophy winner and this awesome record breaker in college has, like, no chance in your pro league. Like, what is up with that?
She's a really good crier, too.
Hey, no, that's not fair.
Oh, I think it's very fair.
She's won a championship now.
I guess so.
We just agree to disagree on forwards.
I'm right, though. Yeah. So I can talk about Chicago in terms of who they sort of picked up a little bit. I guess first off, we have to frame this. First, Lindsay Tarpley tore her ACL, and then we traded her to St. Louis for a goalkeeper, Lloyden. And okay, sure. We needed a goalkeeper because Carolyn Janssen decided to stay in Sweden for whatever reason, or we just didn't. Mutual termination. Okay. So we have a goalkeeper now. Though I don't think that any of the other goalkeepers we had before were ever given a fair shake. Like Jameel Johnson, I think she played for Tennessee and she was pretty good. It's a shame that she didn't get a chance to sort of grow a little bit in this league, or I don't know if she did or she didn't, because I didn't see anything. Lydia Williams, who I think she was just there for her haircut. I think.
Which is sort of unfair, because she does play for their senior national team. She played for their U20s in Russia. Oh, and by there, I mean Australia, because I don't think we stated that.
No. No, she's probably there for the accent, too. I saw their videos. They were very up on that. We've got people with the accents.
I mean, she filled an international spot, so they must have seen something.
Yeah. See, now I'm just getting angry about that. No.
I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. And then we let Carly Lloyd be a free agent, which, thank the Lord. I've just never seen the Carly Lloyd thing. I will go about it on ends about how much I don't see it. how much I'm not seeing. And then she'll probably go and do something. I'll be happy to be proven wrong, especially on the national team level. Hopefully exclusively on the national team level to be proven wrong. So in terms of the college draft, we filled some defensive holes. Engen, I think, was a good pick. It's a good pick. I'm not, like, super up on every single Tar Heel. But it wasn't a bad choice by any means, and it's definitely something that we needed to fix the giant gaping holes in our defense and whatnot. And then, of course, we got Kelsey Davis, and I'm going to pause here to let the choirs of angels sing. And that's...
You have to edit in a little sound.
I'm going to. You think I'm not?
Let's talk a little bit about Kelsey Davis, because that's what we do.
That's what we do. We're going to call this the Kelsey Davis moment.
Yeah. Okay. Instead of a moment of silence, we're going to have a moment of praise, because we both love Kelsey Davis, like, insane amounts. Obviously, as a Bronco fan, like... You know my love for Kelsey Davis is pure because it overrides that that rivalry.
Yeah. Well, let's see. What is there left to say about Kelsey Davis other than she had that awesome article written about her, which nobody else mentioned, which I wrote a blog post about that. But
right. Well, to be fair, they mentioned it, but generally they mentioned it on Twitter as a retweet so that they didn't actually have to say anything about Kelsey Davis.
Did they? I didn't see anybody else mention. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, it's always great to have a couple pilots. And I guess I'm a little sad Lopez didn't go to Chicago, because that would have been nice, but it's okay.
That really would have fixed some defensive problems.
It would have.
Some leadership problems, because Tarpley was captain.
Yeah, that's true. Oh God, I didn't even mention that. Yeah, I think leadership is going to be the big hole in Chicago's. Like, it's going to be the big chink in their armor in terms of.
I think they're going to try and rely a lot on Mark Greff for that. But you know, like, is she even going to be back in a starting role?
Yeah.
By the start of the season.
That's a good question. Granted, in promotional events, she looks great. She looks great. I didn't see her run or tackle anyone, but we'll see. It's going to be tough to see where that leadership is going to come from, because you look at it, we have a very young midfield. I won't say inexperienced, because they're not inexperienced. They're just kind of they're excitable. They're like excitable puppies.
They're like adolescent puppies. They're big, but they're still kind of clumsy.
They are.
Which, your midfield's not big or clumsy. They're just, that attitude.
Somebody really needs to whip them into shape and, you know, get them.
Stay.
off. Leave it.
Yeah, so Emma Hayes, maybe you want some puppy training. You can't just yell at Rapino. You actually have to go through the training process.
Oh, I had entirely forgotten about that. What a wonderful... I know, it's like, she wasn't the only one doing that. Like, I know Rapino is, like, my favorite and everything, and I will probably, you know, I'm, like, a little sensitive about that, but it's like, she wasn't the only one doing bad things out there. Like... Granted, like, she wasn't really doing any, like, she wouldn't correct her behavior every time Emma yelled at her, but it's like, she's not the only one.
Right, but it wasn't as bad as, say, Amy Rodriguez, who, I mean, I saw Boston play, and I heard Tony DiCicco yell at Amy.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
It wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, I that seems kind of whimsical. It does seem like she was yelling at a puppy the entire time, which seems like, you know.
Right, you expect a puppy to improve its behavior, even if they don't. Like, maybe you give them a treat later. But Amy Rodriguez was literally in the doghouse. There was no puppy time for her.
That's a subject for another day. On the subject of players, I don't really see, I don't get them. So, we got Nogueira when we didn't get her in the college draft, which I was hoping that we wouldn't. I was praying that Emma would see right through that, and she did. And I was like, whoo, you know, see, prayer works. But it's totally cool that we got her in the dispersal draft. I mean, but though that doesn't solve the leadership problem, it compounds it in a way.
Exacerbates it. But I feel like she's not a puppy midfielder. She's a
puppy forward. I think we have the title of our podcast episode. As we are speaking, the U.S. yesterday completed their second game, a 2-1 win over Norway. Pretty hard fought. Won in the last, in stoppage time. Both goals by Abby Wambach.
And Norway had that goal. It was Isabel Herlovsen, which I thought it was interesting that no one really mentioned that, because I think Norway has been struggling recently, which I don't speak Norwegian, so it's kind of hard for me to read up on them. But I think they recently had a coaching change. And then there was a personnel change, and Isabel, because I can't say her last name. She's been scoring for them. I think she scored against Germany in UEFA, and she's one of those U20 players. I think she played in 2008 for the U20 team. So I think that's pretty impressive.
Norway had for so long has been the team that the U.S. it's our rival, and I think in a way it still is, but they had dropped off to the point where it's like, wow, as a fan it's like I'm really up on you guys beating them, but it's like, it's not been too hard. I'm used to a fight, and since we can't see the games and we don't have a very accurate description of what's happening. It's hard to say.
Or a live description of what's happening.
Yeah, or a live description of what's happening. It's hard to say how the team is playing, how they look going into eventual qualifying sometime this year for the Women's World Cup in Germany next
which
year.
I think, as the U.S., we really take that for granted at the senior level because everyone thinks it's just kind of a given that we're going to beat Canada and Mexico. And that we're going to be playing Canada and Mexico. But Canada is also under new leadership. When we saw them last year, they didn't do well, but they've been improving. They're at the Cyprus Cup right now. And they actually just beat England. So they've had 3 straight wins now. They beat England, who I thought performed pretty impressively at UEFA. I guess it was probably a close game. They won 1-0, and it was not Sinclair that scored this morning. So, congratulations, Canada.
Yeah, go Canada. For the Algarve Cup. We talked a little bit about that and the success that they're having so far, which is good, especially because Christy Rampone's not on the team right now. And I think it's going to be something to see how the team does without Christy Rampone, because I think she's the big source of leadership and focus and all those other things. You know, she wasn't always, she's not going to be your goal scorer, and maybe she's not the single best defender on the team for any one game.
No, but she's really solid, and she's really calm under pressure.
Yeah.
Whereas, who's captaining right now, Box and Wambach? They just don't make me feel as secure about the team.
Right now it seems like a lot of our leadership all I think of is yellow cards waiting to happen.
I think captaining with the U.S. team, and this isn't typical under the current coaching staff, but in general it seems to be more of a PR thing.
Yeah. Okay, so a point of interest to me is the veterans who are I hesitate to say older players, but I really mean the older players who, in soccer terms, who have not retired from the national team and not formally said they're retired from the national team. They're still playing. But you'll note that they're not getting call-ups, but they're still playing club. And I think that there hasn't been a player who's retired from the national team formally and kept playing for club since Carla Overbeck. I don't know. It's like, do you still expect to keep getting called up? Or because it seems like in the men's game, there'll be plenty of guys who recognize, I have a lot to do with my club, but on the national team, I'm going to let some other people, you know, take care of that. You look at Francesco Totti, like, especially, I guess, Italians are the only ones that come to mind. Mancini, I think Brian McBride retired from the national team and kept playing club. And it's like, there's not a lot of parallels with the women in that, in terms of that. And I guess the reason I bring this up is because Brandi Chastain got cut from FC
Gold. From another team.
From another team, from a club team. And she kind of, I can't say made a big stink because when you...
No, she did. She went golfing and she complained about it.
She went golfing and she... That is kind of a big deal. Well, no, I mean, because not a lot of people are going to cover that. They're not going to mention that too much, but because it's women's soccer. But it's like, you know...
If you're going to cover women's soccer, you always talk about Brandi.
Yeah, for being such a big player and a big icon in the sport, I just wish that she had gone, you know, I don't want to say quietly.
Gracefully.
Gracefully
is the word.
More, like, I wish she had gone a little more gracefully. I mean, it's great that she still has that fight, but it's...
Right, and you gotta think about what kind of... impression you're making and taking into your next step. Like, she's with Santa Clara again. And, you know, as a Bronco fan and as an FC Gold Pride fan, I was cool with her being on the bench for FC Gold Pride. And then she got cut, and I felt okay about that, just because it seems like, you know, it's time to move on a little bit. If she really wanted to keep playing, she'd do what Tiffany Milbert did. And go to an open tryout and try again. But I'm just kind of embarrassed that now she's on the Bronco coaching staff.
Yeah. To be honest, that's not something a Brandi Chastain is going to do, because she does kind of have that ego, which, I mean, it's not good or bad. I mean, it's great. It's kind of refreshing to see a woman sort of be unapologetic about, you know, going after the things she wants, but in some ways she's not entirely working for them anymore. It's more like, I've just given so much already, why don't you just keep this roster spot in, like, a really horrific economy when you need to make room
for
players.
That arguably finished at the bottom of the standings last year and could have finished a little bit higher.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense, even if you don't like Montoya, to keep her. It doesn't make a whole lot of practical sense, and it would have been nice if she recognized that too.
Yeah, I mean, I get that she wants to stay in the Bay Area because of family ties, and I wonder how much of a selling point she was with fans. Might have been a pretty big selling point, but the defense is going in a different direction. We picked up Chapman and Cross during the off season, and probably some others that I'm forgetting. But yeah, I mean, the defense is going in a different direction. We have to pick up new backup keepers, and let's face it, Brandi was sort of done.
Yeah. And another interesting sort of retirement, but this one voluntarily, would be Allie Wagner. She retired near sort of the end of January, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And she said she hasn't said much, which I think is to her credit, you know, to not like make a big stink about,
right,
I'm retiring now. And it was really for health reasons. And I can, like, it just made me like her so much more, because I know I gave her as a fan a hard time for not performing the way I knew she could, or the way I thought she should. But it's like, she retired for health reasons and now she seems very happy. And she said some interesting things in that article on teamusa.org about me, that her favorite moments were winning the College Cup, which was very, like, I, it was good because that was a good moment for Santa Clara. It was a good moment for her. And then the Olympics in Athens in Greece in 2004.
Right. Which even though she also went to, I mean, she went to two World Cups, was it? And she was in the Olympics in Beijing.
And she won a gold medal in that, but though she didn't really play.
She knew when it was the right time to bow out. And even though she can be a loud personality, like Brandy, she bowed out gracefully.
Yeah, she didn't quite have the sense of entitlement, I think, maybe. And I think she sort of vaguely referenced that in her interview, where she says that the positions were often politicized, the positions of the veterans. I wonder what she exactly means by that word politicized, but it seems to me that, like...
Yeah, was that more about the 91ers, or was that more about the World Cup?
Yeah. She says she was on the younger end of that change. I don't know, because I feel like she maybe made some rosters that she shouldn't have, me personally, but I don't know if that's what she's referencing.
And I think it's interesting that, like, that I hadn't heard about that particular article or that particular quote until this week sometime. And it just seems like that would be a really interesting talking point within women's soccer, and nobody has anything to say about it. It's sort of like Kelsey.
Yeah. No one really has. I don't know. I find women's soccer media, I guess we can talk about this because our blog does sort of cover how women's soccer is covered.
sort of. Single one of my posts, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about the media. Well, really, that's why we started the blog and why we started the podcast, was because we're completely dissatisfied with the way women's soccer is covered or not covered in the U.S., which is where it should be getting a lot of attention. It's groundbreaking in the U.S., both for professional teams and in the international sport.
So yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the coming podcasts. So I think we can wrap it up.
So do we want to speculate about what we'll talk about next time?
Next podcast, I guess we're going to talk about the completion of the Algarve Cup, the upcoming games against Mexico, maybe the beginning of the preseasons of the WPS.
Do we want to talk at all about the spring seasons for the college teams, or do we want to try to back off on that?
No, we can mention it if there's anything to mention. Let's
because
start.
I think a handful of them are playing WPS teams in the preseason. I know UNC is. I know Santa Clara is. Penn State is. So we've got a handful there.
Yeah. Okay. So that about wraps it up for us for this week, month, period. Ruth, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Kelsey's Pajamas, where I also link to the Cross Conference Collector blog.
Great. And I'm at Joan of Dark on Twitter, and you can find my personal blog and all sorts of crazy stalkery things through there.
Exciting.
Yeah, I know. I'm really going to want to pay very close attention to what's going on.
The ninja knowledge management person.
Knowledge management. That's me. KM. All right. So that was our first podcast. I'd like to apologize for the background noise. I recorded my part in a coffee shop, and the employees and customers were less than mindful about the importance of women's soccer media. Don't forget to check out the blog component of this project at crossconference.wordpress.com. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions, feel free to contact us on Twitter or send an email to crossconference@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully you'll hear from us again soon.